I'm a hot rod man. Yeah, I'm a hot rod man. Look out.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Farm Machinery Digest Radio. I'm Ray Bohax, your humble host from Cat Swamp Road over in Warren County, New Jersey. And that man singing the intro to this show is Tex Rubinowitz from Ripsaw Records. And the name of that song is The Hot Rod Man. So you got the Hot Rod Farmer and the Hot Rod Man. I basically said it almost every week, but it just kind of lends itself and it rolls off my tongue. So hopefully, God willing, everything is going well with you as we get ready to spring, get ready for spring, not the spring, right? And the time change, I think it's going to be this week. I don't really know. I thought they were supposed to get rid of that. But I don't know what the real time is. So anyway, but I think a lot of you feel the exact same way. And I know a lot of you attended Commodity Classic, and God willing, you had a good show there and a good event and had safe travels both there and back and learned a lot, because it's all about learning, right, in life. And that's what this show is about. It's about learning. And what we're going to discuss today is understanding driver circuits. And not a race car driver driving a racing circuit, but driver circuits in the control systems of your farm machinery, your cars, your trucks, right? So there's something in there called drivers. And then also, I have a Dell computer that I use, and it's got a Windows system in it. And that Windows system is always doing updates, and it usually messes things up, right? Or at least it does for me. Probably 80% of the time, it changes stuff around that I don't want changed, because I am a functional computer user. That is akin to someone who knows how to drive a vehicle, and they could get in it, and they could put it in gear, and they could drive to wherever they have to go, and they have no idea how the engine is working, or the torque converter, or the transmission, and neither do they care. Well, that's how it is with my computer, all right? There's always putting updates, and like I said, a good majority of the time it messes things up on me. But sometimes it says a driver update. So, hey, what is a driver? But it's a little bit different when you're talking about a laptop or a computer versus an engine management system. So even though we may say as lay people, well, the computer is running the engine in the combine, or the computer is running the sprayer controls. Well, that is a true statement, but it's a little bit different when you have a driver in a PC, a true computer, versus an engine management system that happens to use a microprocessor, because the actual proper term is microprocessor. So even though the controller, let's say on your grain bin, you may consider it a computer, but it's truly not a computer. Part of it is a microprocessor. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about driver circuits. You say, what do I care about that? Well, you're going to need to care about it, or you should have cared about it, all right, because that's how your engine runs. If it's fuel injected, and everything today is fuel injected, you anybody have a pulse width modulated sprayer? Well, baby, that's what's controlling those spray tips. A driver. Do you have some fans in your dairy barn that are electronically controlled? All right, then they are being driven by a type of driver. So we're just going to give you an overview, because just like with seed corn, there's many different hybrids and many different characteristics and traits. There's many different types of drivers, but in theory, their actual function is the same. So the foundational part, the fundamental of what they are doing is the same. And that's all we need to know at this particular point in the farm shop. We're not going out there and designing a driver circuit, but we need to take the mystery out of why that sprayer, that pulse width modulator, the pulse width modulated sprayer goes tick, 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 or your fuel injectors or some other thing that's going on in a piece of farm equipment or even in your farm shop or your house. So that is going to be the topic of today's show. And hopefully, God willing, you find it interesting. So I want to ask you to please sit Pat during this short sponsor break. And never forget that agriculture runs on machinery, but profits on reliability.
It's Mad Dog Unleashed with Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Good afternoon, everybody!
Hear the passion.
Be aggressive. Get something done.
Hear the knowledge.
The game, folks, is about two plays. And that's what it comes down to.
Hear the personality.
I'm going to start here in an angry mood.
Get somebody on the radio!
That has made him a sports talk legend.
Does that make any sense to you? God, you're crazy.
It's Mad Dog Unleashed with Christopher Russo. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
SiriusXM Rural Radio Channel 147.
We keep you close to America's most essential industry, agriculture,
and cover the real-time issues affecting farmers and ranchers in all of North America.
Helping you protect your bottom line.
Rural Radio, highlighting the business of feeding the country.
The latest in farming and ranching.
Markets, agronomy, machinery.
Ag policy news, conversations from Washington, D.C., and more.
Rural Radio.
The Agribusiness and Western Lifestyle Channel.
On SiriusXM Channel 147.
This Iowa Minute is brought to you by the Iowa Farm Bureau.
Protecting the land and the water is a year-round duty for Iowa farmers who believe in doing things right. What works best is different on every farm, but it all takes planning, patience, and a passion for the land.
We use technology-based science to spoon-feed the plants when needed, as needed, which benefits the plants as well as the watershed.
Iowa farmers also embrace innovation and equipment so fertilizer can be injected into the ground.
We inject the manure so it can't wash off the top of the ground during a rainfall event.
They plant cover crops to hold the soil and nutrients in place, or plant miles of buffer strips around streams. Iowa farmers statewide are asked to take a look at the science-based nutrient strategy plan to see what measures work best for their farms. After all, we all live in a watershed. Making an impact means everyone works together. With your Iowa Minute, I'm Lori Johns.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Farm Machinery Digest Radio. I'm that guy from New Jersey, in case you happen to be scanning the dials on SiriusXM Channel 147 Rural Radio, right? We wouldn't be scanning that. You'd be scanning all the different channels. So, all right, so we're talking about driver circuits today. And everybody has a certain level of familiarity with a solenoid and with a relay, because we find solenoids and relays on all of our equipment. And for this discussion today about drivers, I'm going to predominantly focus on 12-volt DC circuits, or DC circuits, not AC alternating current, which comes into your farm shop, though you could have drivers in that also, but it'll be a little bit easier for me to explain the concept of a driver so you could grasp it and understand it, and then you could apply that to a heating system. You could apply that to your dairy robot, whatever it may be, whatever happens to have a driver in it. So, to get back on track over here, we're familiar with a solenoid and we're familiar with a relay. And there's a lot of commonality between the two, between a solenoid and a relay. But they are different, just like sweet corn is different than field corn, than grain corn, right? But there's a lot of similarity. So a relay in electrical circuits is used for you to control a high amperage draw circuit with a low amperage draw switch. So basically, let's take a headlight relay. So if a headlight relay was not incorporated into the wiring harness, then the current draw of all of the lights, let's say it's a big semi, right? Or you got your combine with all those lights, those halogen lights so you could harvest at night, would have to pass through the switch. So you would need to have very heavy, thick load capacity wires coming up into the dashboard. All right, then you'd have to have a switch that handles all that amperage, and then the lights would work. You'd pull out the switch, the toggle it, whatever you do, and the lights would come on. So what a relay does, it uses a low amperage circuit to control a device which is a switch that is controlled by electromagnets. So when you put your headlights on, using that as an example, on an application that has a headlight relay, which everything does, is that you have thin wires going up to the switch, And then you pull the switch out to put the headlights on, and then it completes that circuit. And in the relay, there's an electromagnetic field that's induced, and this electromagnetic field pulls in some contacts. And on the relay, there's two heavy leads. There's a heavy lead coming in and a heavy lead going out. So the current draw, the amperage draw, is going through that relay, and there's thin little low current wires that go up to the dashboard. So that's the purpose of a relay. Now, we have on diesel engines, if they have glow plugs, if they have an intake air heater, there's a glow plug relay. So when you turn the ignition key on and the glow plugs are being warmed, is that it's low voltage signal that is closing a high voltage circuit to allow it to pass to that particular instance, glow plugs. So that is a relay. Starter relay. All right. You go to start the engine on something. All right. You have a starter button, a starter or ignition key. You're turning it. You're not having the big heavy cables come up underneath the dashboard or like you would off the battery that goes to the starter. So the relay is a remote way of activating something. It's a remote way of acting a high current draw circuit is the proper way for me to say it. Now, you have a solenoid. So a solenoid shares some of its design components. It's an electromagnet. It controls, it's powered up through a low current circuit, all right? So you could have a solenoid and a relay. So for instance, if you're almost every cranking motor, we call it a starter, but it's a cranking motor, will have a starter relay and then a starter solenoid. And the solenoid is what moves what we used to call years ago the Bendix, the drive mechanism, into the flywheel. So a solenoid has a magnetic field induced in, so it's an electromagnet like the activation part of a relay, but for all intents and purposes, a solenoid moves something. It has some sort of mechanical action. It moves something, all right? So it does. So it's going to either move of the Bendix in the starter, or move something in a transmission, what have you, or move something on your combine. So that is the difference between a solenoid and a relay. A relay is carrying electricity. It's a transport mechanism, and a solenoid is doing some work. Okay, so now, let's talk about a driver circuit. So a driver, D-R-I-V-E-R, is inside the control unit, whether it's the controller for your pulse width modulated sprayer, your engine, what have you. It makes no difference. We'll stick with that so we don't go all over the map, right? And what is a driver? So you would consider a driver an electronic switch that has no moving parts. So that is what a driver is. But what is interesting about a driver is that it has the ability to carry a higher current load than the rest of the microprocessor. Because microprocessors usually run on 5 volts. If it's in your tractor, in your laptop, in your PC, they run on low voltage. They may run on 12 volts on your PC. So actually the recordings system that I'm using here, what they call a soundboard to record this show, is from Rode, R-O-D-E. They're a microphone. They're a company that makes microphone and recording equipment, and it runs from 120 volts from the wall socket, but it has a transformer that steps the 120 volts down to 12 volts and also from AC to DC. Right, so I'm sure that there's a driver, and there's a driver in my Rodecaster. So what does a driver do? I'm going to repeat it because I aborted my definition. It's for our terms, for being in the farm shop, it's an electronic switch that has no moving parts. So what pulses the fuel injectors on an engine, whether it's a diesel engine or a gasoline engine, is a driver. So this driver is located inside the control unit, which we would call an ECU, electronic control unit, or engine control unit, whatever term you want to use, depending upon what it's doing. And a driver turns the circuit on or off. So when that fuel injector opens, or when you have a pulse width modulated sprayer, All right. And there's a solenoid that, because on a pulse width modulated sprayer, it acts kind of like a fuel injector, but the actual nozzle, the tip does not pulse. It's the flow of product coming from the tank that's being controlled and shut on and off. So the driver on a pulse width modulated sprayer is operating a solenoid, then that solenoid is opening and closing, and it will cycle at so many times per second. And usually a solenoid like that on a fuel injector or a pulse width modulated sprayer is 10 hertz, which means 10 cycles per second. But I don't want to get off and confuse you at this particular point. I'll wait for the last segment to confuse you. All right, so that is basically, in essence, what a driver does. So when all of your circuits are being operated by a controller, I'm repeating it so you don't think it's only on an engine. It could be on your sprayer, it could be on your combine, it could be on your planter. If something has to be operated and it's doing it without manual switches, that there is a driver involved with it. And there's all different types of drivers. So for instance, like if we go on the engine management side, that they have two styles of drivers that they use. So like you'd say with seed corn, well, that's a racehorse, all right? That's a racehorse, that's a workhorse. So they have what is called peak and hold drivers, because we're talking about 12 volts here, and 12 volts saturated. Now, what a peak and hold driver does, and a lot of fuel injection systems on diesel engines and the gasoline engines, Tier 4 diesels, common rail, use peak and hold drivers. So what a peak and hold driver means that it'll send a high amount of current to the injector, and then it'll step down after a few nanoseconds. So basically, in essence, what it'll do is that, think about you trying to push a farm truck that doesn't run, push it into the shop. So you get your helpers or your son or whoever, and I was always the son of the help, and you go, and you push right to get it, because to try to get it moving. And once it gets moving, then you need less energy to push it, because a body at rest takes more energy to get going into motion than one that is already in motion. So what a peak and hold driver does is it shoots a lot of amperage into the fuel injector, for this example, right? So let's say if it's a 5/2 peak and hold, it shoots it with 5 volts to wake it up, right? To get it to move, and then it steps down to 5 amps, and steps down to 2 amps to maintain it open. Just like you pushing something, right? And pushing, like I said, a truck into the farm shop that doesn't run, takes more energy. Now, a 12-volt saturated style driver keeps the current supplied to whatever it's operating. We're talking about a fuel injector to keep it common. Keeps the current draw the same, the current that it's supplying to it the same. So if it's 3 amps, it's 3 amps all the time. So basically, in essence, what does that mean? Is that a peak and hold driver would be a racehorse type of corn, all right? It gets that in this particular instance, I'm repeating it, that fuel injector to open quicker, all right? All right, whereas a 12-volt saturated type of driver says, well, okay, we're going to be good, but we're you know, 110-day corn instead of 92-day corn. We're gonna open the injector. We're going to do what we have to do, but we're not going to give it that big, that shot, that kick in the rear end, pardon my language, to get it to open quickly. So those are the two types of drivers. So the rule of thumb would be that if the circuit has to operate very quickly, and or the device has to operate very quickly, because what is a fuel injector? A fuel injector is a solenoid, because it's got magnetic winding that's moving some sort of pintle to allow gasoline or diesel fuel to pass. So if it needs to respond very quickly, it would have what is called a peak and hold driver. And if it doesn't have to operate so quickly, for instance, like on your sprayer, your pulse with Majed sprayer, it's probably going to employ a 12-volt saturated, or we'll say a saturated type of driver, because it doesn't have to operate in milliseconds. All right, so that is, now what we're going to do is go to a short commercial break here, and then we're going to finish up and give you some practical common sense things when we come back.
Join us every Saturday on Rural Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 147 at 10 a.m. Eastern Time for Ag Talk, Your Story Matters. This is America's platform for women in agriculture to share their thoughts, ideas, and stories. We feature our Ag Women Connect members, guest speakers, and current topics across the nation that affect our agriculture industry. And we invite you to be a part of our conversation every week.
Hi, I'm Bob Phillips.
And I'm Kelly Phillips. Texas is a big place, and we've seen it all.
Every week, we travel the back roads to find the most interesting places and passionate people in the Lone Star State.
And every week, we invite you to hop in and travel with us.
Join us for our weekly journey into the small towns and big hearts of the Texans we discover on Texas Country Reporter.
Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on Rural Radio, Channel 147, exclusively on Sirius XM.
Ag Rally, agriculture's New Year's celebration, is a national one-day event with three ways to attend. Join us March 19th for the latest product reveals, updates, soil compaction, cattle dog and truck durability field demonstrations with special guests, the Ag Truck Trader Pro Rodeo Team, and music by Easton Corbin. Three ways to participate. Watch live on RFD TV or the Cowboy Channel. Stream it on RFD TV Now or attend in person at any participating local certified agricultural dealership. Go to agrally.com to find a participating dealer near you. Ag Rally, presented by John Deere.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Don't miss us right here on Rural Radio, Channel 147 on Sirius XM. You can hear us every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 7 a.m. Eastern.
All righty, welcome back to the show. Well, we're going to talk about, let's say, for instance, you have a pulse width modulated sprayer and you have a solenoid that's controlling the flow of product to a certain section of the boom. Now, the resistance of that solenoid is going to be paramount to the design of the driver that is running it. So, a rule of thumb is that if you have a lower resistance solenoid, then there's going to most likely, and this is a rule of thumb, there's going to be a peak and hold type of driver that's going to shoot it with a lot of current and then back down the current. And the reason why they shoot it with a lot of current is that to open it quickly and then to maintain it, you don't need as much. And whenever you have current flowing through an electrical device, whether it's the driver in the ECU, whether it's a solenoid, what have you, you are going to build heat. So the more heat, the more current, the more heat. That's why if you short circuit something, the wire gets hot and melts, because you let all the electrons flow and it had a lot of heat from an electron movement. So now the thing that the practical application here is you need to understand that just to that level, like plant seed germination. You don't need to be an agronomist. You need to understand what happens there. So now let's talk about your sprayer, and we'll talk about the generic pulse width modulated sprayer. So let's say it's a field sprayer, it doesn't have to work as quickly as a fuel injector on a diesel engine or a gasoline engine, doesn't have to respond as quickly. So I would assume it's got a saturated type of driver, a 12-volt saturated driver. In most of those circuits, what's basically happening is the driver is actually turning the ground circuit on and off. So it's allowing, because that's the last stop on the circuit, right? So it turns the ground circuit on and off. So if it has a 12-volt saturated using that saturated type of driver, and it would have a high resistance solenoid that's designed for that circuit. So now let's say what happens, all right, is that you have the ground side, you have the ground side of the solenoid going back to the driver, because that's what's doing it. The driver is going cycling. Most pulse width modulated sprayers cycle at 10 hertz, 10 times per second. So tick, 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 and it could be, and you're measuring the amount of time it's open. So if you want to put more product on, the driver is on longer. And a mouse comes, metaphorically, and eats the insulation off that ground wire going back to the driver, all right? So, or the mouse goes and eats the positive lead coming. Basically, in essence, what I want to try, I only have a couple minutes left, to paint a picture, is that if you have a short to ground on that circuit, or the solenoid, the shorts out or something, you will have the potential to overload the driver. So if it's only, if it's a 12 volt saturated driver, because remember Ohm's law, volts times amps equals watts, so the resistance of that solenoid, the resistance of that fuel injector, that whatever it is on your combine that's being operated, is matched to that driver's ability. So if that gets short circuited and the driver as it now has, instead of a 20 ohm resistance, has a 3 ohm resistance across it, because electricity is going to try to flow, just like you shorten out that battery, and you're going to end up, well, I'm going to smoking the driver, right? Letting the smoke out, you're going to burn out the driver. And when the driver burns out, no matter what it's for, fuel injector, pulse width modulated, solenoid, what have you, it is going. It is going to not operate. That circuit will be open. So there is a tool. Now, you could use a test light to see if it's pulsing, but there's a tool called a NOID, N-O-I-D light. And that has the proper connector for you to plug into the harness so you don't compromise. If you listen to my planter show last week, we were talking about compromising the wiring harness. All right, so if you have a NOID light, then you put the NOID light in there and you operate that circuit, whether it's cranking an engine, turning on a sprayer, or what have you. If that NOID light does not pulse, then you know you have an open in that circuit, and it's very possibly that you popped the driver due to a solenoid that shorted out, or a short in this circuit someplace else, and it allowed excessive current flow to go through and burn it out. Now, on usually, and I'm not going to say better because that's misinterpreted, but lots of times you'll have an ECU on your piece of equipment that is going to control a driver box, and they put all these drivers in a box so that if there is a problem and it shorts out because of a failure, you don't have to replace the whole ECU and reprogram it. That's what we do on drag race cars. We'll have the ECU control a driver box, so if we pop a driver, you don't have to reprogram and buy an expensive ECU. Now, I do not know who does that, who doesn't do that with farm sprayers, but usually nobody does that with a production vehicle. So if you have a mouse eat a wire, it costs you a $5,000 ECU. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I want you to know that the Hot Rod Farmer is pulling for you, the American farmer and rancher in my beloved, beloved America. You have a blessed day, and please don't forget to be kind to all animals. Thank you for listening.
The Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
The Engaged Kansas Coalition seeks civic-minded people to consider serving their communities through public office. As an Engaged Kansas partner, Kansas Farm Bureau offers a 2-day course for current office holders, potential candidates, and other interested community leaders.
Kansas Farm Bureau's Campaign School offers nonpartisan, unbiased instruction on the nuts and bolts of campaigning, media training, and an election simulation, giving attendees the confidence to execute a winning campaign.
Kansas Farm Bureau's Brendan Worth says Engage Kansas was formed to demystify public service and to make it more accessible.
The Campaign School is April 17th and 18th in Wichita. We also have 4-hour mini sessions across Kansas through June.
Learn more or sign up at kfb.org/campaign school and listen again here for more from the Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
When the work is done and it's time to relax, that's where you come around the bend with me, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, the host of the Bend Radio Show. Each week we bring you the stories from the trail that you just don't hear anywhere else. From Western lifestyle and entertainment and rodeo to stalking the trophy deer to climbing in the kayak and even some campfire cuisine. Come around the bend Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time each week on Rural Radio Channel 147.
On the Ag PhD Radio Show, we talk about all the ways you can get the most return on investment for the crops on your farm. Our guests are farmers and experts in the industry, and we discuss the latest innovations in fertility, crop production, seed traits, and much more. Don't miss the next Ag PhD Radio Show, weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, on Rural Radio Sirius XM, Channel 147.
Everything you need to know about the ag commodities and Western sports world, you'll find it here, Sirius XM, Channel 147, Rural Radio.